All right, guys. Welcome once again to your High Gravity Mill podcast. I am Brad Howard, and today I've got a very, very special guest. His name is Michael Fiore, and he's been on the Rachel Ray Show as far as and a lot of other really cool shows and things like that, talking about a very unique way he has of actually re-sparking and rekindling relationships. And this gentleman, actually, to be quite honest with you, is probably one of the, as far as my go-to guys when I'm really looking for some insights on human desire, and both male and female desire. But he really focuses in on both of these. And so we're going to talk about a lot of that type of stuff, and I think you're going to get a lot out of it. And we're going to talk about his little unique way he can do this type of thing. So, Mike, I really appreciate you being here, buddy.
Well, thank you for having me. Really happy to be here.
All righty. So, you know what? Let's kind of go into some of the things that you were talking about a little bit earlier before we got on the call. You know, as a guy, we've all probably been in a situation where we've either dating someone really cool or, you know, we got married and that person was really cool. And now all of a sudden, things aren't so kosher anymore. Maybe kind of hostile. I'm hostile is maybe a bad word, but, you know, bitchy.
They are rife with disappointment is what they are.
There you go. There you go. That's
rife
that's
with disappointment and contempt is what I see a lot, especially, you know, folks that get into relationships. And, you know, I talk about this in one of the videos I do about the relationship timeline. Tends to happen a lot. And we can even talk about it from a sex standpoint, but it's like you first meet a girl and everything is amazing and she's just like super hot and really into you and she wants to impress you and all this stuff is great. And then you start dating and things kind of fall down a little bit and then you get married and all of a sudden, you know, her vagina is like the Sahara and you can't get anywhere near it and all that kind of stuff happens. And a lot of guys are always asking, why does that happen and how do you kind of keep it from happening? How do you keep a woman actually happy in a relationship so that you're not like sitting in your basement looking at porn all the time and wondering what the hell happened to you and becoming some kind of cliche, right?
Yeah.
Which happens over and over and over again. And it even happens to guys who are really cool and are in great shape and are kind of dominant in their real lives and do all the stuff that you teach them how to do, right?
Sure.
And in my experience, you know, I have kind of two different things that I do. I teach guys about sex and relationships, and I teach women about sex and relationships too. And, you know, the women are very rampant about desperately wanting to understand men better, to understand how do I make him happy and things like that. Well, the number one thing I find that makes women kind of develop that contempt and makes women kind of develop that craziness and to not feel desire and things like that is really just not feeling safe and not feeling loved in a relationship. Brad, you and I were talking before, and I was saying I ran a webinar for my women's list a little while ago called How to Know If a Man Really Loves You. You know, 7 simple ways to know if he really loves you or not. And we had so many people, so many women sign up for that webinar that we had to run it like 3 times, right? Because the go-to webinar that we're using only takes 1,000 people at a time. We had, I think, 5,000 women sign up in the first day. Or something like that. And then when we put out the replay, it was kind of the most popular thing that we'd ever done because women desperately have this feeling of insecurity and have this desperate feel to just be like, how do I know that you really love me? How do I know that you really care about me? And what I teach women is to kind of, you know, look for certain signals and all these things and to really develop the self-confidence not to need to know that so much, right? To understand that love for a man is not quite the same thing as it always is for a woman. Women, by the way, what they want when you actually ask them is they want a guy who is like obsessed and stalkerish like that guy from Twilight, like that vampire from Twilight or something. But of course, if they ever actually met that guy, they'd have a restraining order on him in 10 minutes and with good reason because he's crazy. And they don't understand that what men really want in a love relationship often is respect. Right. They often want what guys really want is to be like, hey, I really like having you around and you like me and you say nice things about me and I take care of things. And if a bear attacks you, I'll stab it in the eye. Right. Kind of going from there. But really, like, keeping a woman happy in a relationship and contented in a relationship and to the point that she is not jealous and angry. Now, Brad, you and I were talking, and I was saying I went to Las Vegas a few days ago with a friend and for business stuff. And I was down there, and him and I went to a strip club just for the fun of it. And I came home and was telling my girlfriend some funny stories about what happened at the strip club, right? And we've got the relationship where I can do that, where it's okay to be able to mention these kind of things, where she's not freaked out by the idea that, yes, I do occasionally look at other girls, right?
Right.
Unlike some women, probably some guys on the line are like, oh, my God, if I ever told my girlfriend I went to a strip club, she'd cut my balls off, right?
Right.
But how
exactly.
do you? Yeah, but how do you do that? Well, largely you do that by making sure that she knows in your relationship that she is one of your top priorities, if not your top priority. She shouldn't be your top priority all the time. That gets crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's going to be in the top three. And just making sure that she knows without a shadow of a doubt that you actually do love her, that you care about her, that you prioritize her, that you're in her corner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean that you're going to be some wimp who's going to let her kick you around, because that never works, right?
Never.
That just breeds more contempt. We had a woman who wrote in the other day, and her big complaint was she met this amazing guy, you know, great body. She kept talking about his abs, which was kind of funny. And he was really nice, and he has an actual job and all these other kind of things. But she said, Michael, we had sex, and he acted like a woman. You know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was just like, he was way too polite, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was way too like, hey, is it okay if I touch your breast? Does this feel good to you? Blah, 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 blah. And as she said in the email, it just killed her heart on in 5 seconds,
mm-hmm.
right? Because that's not what they're looking for. But what women want is a strong, powerful guy who, at the same time, lets the whole world know that she is the most important woman in his life to him, right,
mm-hmm.
above and beyond anyone else. Now, how do you do that, right? How do you actually show that? Well, there's a lot of different ways. My girlfriend and I were talking about this the other day. I sent her this really sweet text message, and she came back and was all really happy. And she was like, that was the corniest thing I'd ever seen in my entire life. I love you so much,
mm-hmm.
right? Because romance isn't cool.
No.
Like guys particularly, it's interesting when guys kind of go from the I'm single and picking girls up phase to the I've got a girlfriend I want to be with phase. And I think most of us kind of get bored of just going out and picking up girls. And like I did that. I'm sure you did it too.
Sure.
And then at a certain point, I was just like, yeah, I can kind of, if I really want to, go out and sleep with any girl I want. And I don't really want to anymore. Right.
You know, the biggest thing I've found with that, and I think a lot of guys run into this, is, you know, the whole going out and picking up girls just for the sake of picking up girls, it really, because of who you're interacting with on a day-to-day basis in that realm, you really start to lose a lot of respect for women as a whole.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
I know. I was there, and
yeah.
You know, there were times where I actually thought to myself, "Man, will I ever be able to trust a woman again based on what I've seen?"
Yep.
So
yep.
yeah, it's.
Well, I guess it just gets too easy and it becomes too mechanical. I remember being at a bar with a girl a few years ago. Me and my girlfriend have been together about 3 years now. And before that, I kind of had a year. I was just like letting it up, I suppose. And I was at a bar with this girl who I'd met online. I picked her up online. We'd gotten together for a date. And she shows up. And she's cute, but not like super smart, turns mm-hmm. out. Not the kind of girl I would ever really want to date. Right? And I'm sitting there, and we're having drinks, we're talking, and I'm like, God, I'm really not into this girl. And then I find myself, without even really wanting to, going through the motions of getting her back to my apartment.
Yes.
Right? And I'm like, I know that if I say these next three words, I think I said something like, hey, you can come back to my place, but we're not going to have sex.
Right.
Right? Or something like that. She's like, what are we going to do? I'm like, oh, we'll watch a movie or something. It'll be great. And of course, we get back to my house, and 10 minutes later, we're having sex, because that's the way those things work. And I just remember going through it and just being so sad about the entire thing. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm sleeping with this girl who, you know, I'm sure 5 years earlier, I would have been like, oh, my God, I can't. She's so hot. I'm just, like, not even happy about it, because what I think at a certain point what you really want is just to, like, have a girlfriend, have a relationship, and be okay with that, have somebody that really understands you and appreciates you, and that you can understand and appreciate. And then, of course, you get into the actual relationship, and on that side, you're like, wow, wasn't it great when I could go out and just sleep with a lot of girls?
Yeah, grass is always greener.
It's always greener. It's always greener, and it's never that impressive. But I do find the guys who are just, like, sitting around talking about how many girls they've banged in a year kind of depressing. I'm like, that's good, but... Are you having a good time at all? Jeez.
Yeah,
these
guys aren't.
I think a lot of them aren't. A lot of them. I mean, a lot of guys I know in the pickup world are kind of narcissistic and sad in a lot of ways. And it's too bad. It's too bad. A lot of them are nice, could be really nice guys if they just kind of get over themselves. But anyway, as far as like keeping a woman happy, keeping a woman appreciated, it really means like establishing your own power and establishing yourself as a strong, reliable, interesting guy, a guy who is like kind of like a rock in some way, right? Like you're not going to take a lot of bullshit in your relationship. You're being willing to have conversations about things, and just like being willing to be corny sometimes, being willing to just kind of go out there and from a position of strength say things like, you know, I talk about text messaging a lot. That's what I was on the Rachel Ray show for. But sending something simple like, I don't know, you have no idea how much I love and appreciate you, but I'm going to show you tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of cheesy, but it works really well. It works equally well on guys, by the way. because sometimes you just got to be willing to be unapologetically romantic. You got to be willing to just kind of go out there and just be like, here's how I actually feel about you, mm-hmm. right? And just put it into words if you need to. A lot of guys aren't that verbal, but put it into words. Or do nice things for her sometimes. And just kind of put out the kind of behavior that you want her to return to you in return. Now, with women, I often have to, like, remind women to appreciate their guys because women tend to focus on the negative way too much. Like, I don't know if it's just a natural thing or something they fall into, but a lot of women, my own girlfriend even, and I, early on in our relationship, we were talking, and she was, like, really mad at me for, I didn't load the dishwasher the way she likes the dishwasher loaded.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, and we talked, and I was like, this is true. I'm not loading the dishwasher the way you want it loaded. But I'm in good shape. I'm financially successful. I have a great career. I fuck the hell out of you really well. like I'm a responsible person, blah, blah. And I list out all these things, and I'm like, and you're focused on the dishwasher. She's like, yeah, that's kind of stupid. I'm like, yes, it's kind of stupid, but it's where women kind of naturally go.
It's right. They tend to go to wherever the bottom is.
Yes.
And kind of project that as being completely awful.
But
if you kind of come back and say, really? Trust me, it could be way worse.
It could
just
be way worse,
Your friend Sally, who's getting the hell beat out of her every day, mm-hmm. It could be that.
Even just like reminding them of ex-boyfriends they had. I'm like, yeah, you know what? This isn't going to change, these few things. But look at all the good stuff you're getting. Right? Or they'll say, like, okay, you never talk to me the way I want to be talked to. Because a lot of women, there's actually a great quote from John Gray, the guy who did Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. I don't love his stuff overall, but I do love this one quote, right? And he said, women treat men like incompetent women, right? And it's kind of true, right? It's like a lot of women, like, they make the mistake of trying to talk to guys like we're women. They're like, do you want to sit around and talk about our feelings? I'm like, no. Why would I want to do that? What are you talking about? Can we get a beer and a blowjob instead? Where are you kind of going? And I have to teach women all the time.
Best way.
What's that?
That would probably be the best way to make that happen. Let's get a couple of shots of tequila.
Exactly. If there's a blowjob involved, then totally. I will totally talk to you as much as I want to. But men kind of do the same thing, right? We kind of treat women like incompetent men. We're like, why are you being so emotional? What's kind of going on, right? Why are you acting this way? And it's like, well, she's acting this way because that's who she is. That's kind of fundamentally part of who she is. It comes along with the breasts and the fact that they smell good and they're so caring and all this other kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. I think most of my material really, for men and women, really revolves around accepting the other person for who they are. Not just from a sexual standpoint, but also from a, like, hey, the things you love about your girlfriend or your boyfriend are also going to be what you hate about them. Generally speaking, you're going to learn to hate it about them if you let yourself. Like, I have to remind myself that my girlfriend is incredibly laid back and wonderful and doesn't freak out about things, but she's always late for stuff, which is the same thing. Right?
Yeah, it's the same thing, just cloaked a little bit differently.
Yeah, and like, and, you know, whereas I'm like kind of like, you know, loud and social and all those other kind of things, but I'm loud, which she doesn't really like as much, right?
Just as,
like,
a general rule, sure.
Yeah, it just kind of goes along from there. But as far as keeping a woman happy, it's really just about establishing yourself as being kind of unmoved by her moods, largely, right? You don't want to overreact to her all the time. You just kind of, you're okay with it. And just making sure that she knows without a shadow of a doubt where she sits in your mind and your heart, right? Mm-hmm. Making sure that she really does understand. And I had a girlfriend before my current girlfriend who would constantly do you really love me thing. And that was for two reasons. One was because she had anxiety issues. And two is because I really didn't want to be there, and she picked it up.
Oh, right? Sure, yeah.
Yeah, she just knew. She was like, hey, you really don't really feel about me the way I want you to feel about me. And she was right. I shouldn't have been in that relationship. I should have been man enough to kind of walk away from there. But anyway, as far as, like, keeping things going from an emotional standpoint, even a physical standpoint in a relationship, it's all about just kind of a couple of things. One is, like, understanding that the only erogenous zone that matters for women is her mind, right? It's not like a guy where if somebody touches your penis, all of a sudden you're ready to go, no matter who it is, right?
Right.
For women, context really does matter. In fact, they even show that once a woman is turned on, the actual person doesn't matter as much, but it's like getting there takes quite a bit. And even if a woman is really physically turned on, if she's not mentally turned on, she still won't want to have sex.
Yeah, I've actually seen research on that where they actually measure the actual wetness of her vagina, and then cross-reference that with the actual stimulation of her mind, and there's definitely, whereas with a guy, and you know, just like you're saying, penis hard.
Yep.
Ready to roll.
Ready to go.
Mentally, everything's connected, but with a woman, it's definitely separated. So
yeah, and actually, women feel. And actually, if a woman is physically turned on but not mentally turned on, she'll oftentimes be repulsed.
Right.
Like if a woman is watching something that's like that she believes to not be, even if physically she's reacting to it, like it's kind of a rougher sex scene or something like that, she might react physically really powerfully to it for whatever reason, but mentally be like, no.
Or even, and this is definitely non-PC, but even things like rape fantasies.
Yeah,
and stuff
totally.
Like that.
Yeah.
Things that you don't want to do, but you know, it's still kind of there in that area.
Yeah, and that kind of fantasy, where even like, you know, on a lesser degree, ravishment fantasies are really common. Like just being, you know, most women, like I was talking about before, about the woman that was complaining about the guy that was too nice in bed, right? It's not that she doesn't want you to be nice, but she also wants you to take control. I remember being with a girl years ago, a friend of mine actually, and she had broken up with her boyfriend, and we ended up rolling around because it was fun. And she was like, Mike, I really like how you just like grab me and move me around, because she was dating hippies, right? She was dating hipsters. And was used to these guys with these big beards who rode their fixie bicycles all the time. And we're just like really trying way too hard to be emotionally present.
Right.
And had no ability to just be like, I'm just going to treat you like a woman now, take you and kind of go from there. But anyway, getting back to what I was saying about like, you know, her mind is the most important thing. If you can turn a woman's mind on, then everything else kind of follows from there. And if you can, and it kind of goes two different ways. So I have two different programs. I have one called Text the Romance Back, which is really built around romance and having better relationships and making a woman appreciate you more and things like that. And then I have one called Text Your Wife into Bed, which is all about kind of the hardcore dirty stuff built around these kind of things. And Text the Romance Back largely teaches you how to rebuild connection and trust and intimacy with somebody. And then it does get into some dirty stuff as well. But it starts off with just like playing with each other again and reminding each other what it was like to actually like each other back in the day, right? So sending things like appreciation texts, which work incredibly well, both for men and for women. Women oftentimes will go through that program and they'll get the appreciation text. Like, there's no way this will work, right? Mm-hmm. And they send one or two of them, and their guy comes home and just sweeps her into his arms and kisses her so deeply and passionately. And she's like, wow, it was the most amazing thing ever. I'm like, yeah, not that hard, is it?
Yeah, right? You just got to do it.
You just got to do it. You just got to make the person that you're with feel appreciated. You got to remind them. They're not going to always figure it out for themselves, right?
No.
Like, a lot of times people fall into relationships. Well, of course I love you. I'm like, of course? Really? You sure? Because I haven't seen that, right? And it, for guys, like, all you really need to do is you got to tell her sometimes, right? Saying something like, you know, I send my girlfriend things like, I fucking adore you on a regular basis, right? Simple stuff. Not that hard. Right.
Or something, something. I think that's something I read in one of your, either a post or an email or something. Just something I just saw such and such on the side of the road. It reminded me of the time we did. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I call that the relationship time machine, right? And you kind of you're constantly wanting to bring back old memories of good things you did, right? So if you want like a woman to feel like she did when you first got together, you basically just paint pictures about that stuff over and over again. So you're saying like, hey, I was just watching this movie and it reminded me of the time that you and I went to the Grand Canyon and made love under the stars, blah, blah, blah. I really feel lucky to have you in my life. You're awesome.
Yeah.
Right? Simple.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know,
simple, powerful.
One of the things I want you to talk about really quickly, because I don't think guys specifically, and it took me a while to kind of understand this, understand the difference between content and context, number one. And then number two, kind of give an idea when we're talking about these types of things, like how often we're talking about. Because I know a lot of guys would take this and run with it.
Oh, God,
you know, like 15 times a day they're sending these types of texts.
Which, of course, ruins everything. So as far as content versus context, what do you mean by that? What are you kind of going for there?
You know, for my definition of context is, like, my thing is, you can do anything you want as long as you come at it from a position of strength. That's
definitely.
Context.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So as long as you're not doing something because you feel like you have to, or or you're kind of subjugating or you know, someone else's need, you're not doing it because you really want to do this and are trying to give that person something else, then, you know, it's kind of a wasted effort.
Well, to me, it's like the difference between buying flowers on Valentine's Day versus buying flowers any other day of the year.
Yes.
Right? If you buy flowers on Valentine's Day, like, I don't do that personally in my relationship. Right?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't. Like, what do I do on Valentine's Day? I treat my girlfriend the exact same way I treat her every other day of the year. Right? And kind of go from there. And it works better. Like, her and I, we're like, we don't really want to go out to a restaurant on Valentine's Day. It's a pain in the ass, right?
Well, everything's so expensive. You know, they jack
the price. Yeah, well, it's the Valentine's Day tax, right? It's like, oh, we know that you have to do this. So therefore, we're going to do all of these other things. But if you just like, I don't really buy a lot of flowers, but I'll get an occasional little gift. I'll pay for tickets to something. I'll do this. I'll do whatever else. And it comes from much more of a position of strength. And it's not about grand gestures with women. To me, grand gestures are horrible in a lot of ways, right? Like, I even tell women this. I'm like, if you meet a guy and he's doing a lot of grand gestures where he's buying you expensive jewelry or he's doing this other extravagant stuff, to me, that's a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat. I have to tell women this because I'm like, that means he's trying to get something from you. What you really want is a guy who every day makes that small amount of effort to make sure you know how he feels. And that can be sending a text message, getting the occasional flower. It doesn't mean you do it 15 times in a day. It just means once every couple of days, or even every day is fine, one little message every single day can be really, really powerful for her. It just makes her know that you're thinking about her, which is one of the things she wants. She wants to know that you're thinking, because women oftentimes when they're in love with somebody will think about that guy all the time in some way or another, which for guys is kind of crazy because we're like, well, I'm working right now. Of course I'm not thinking about my girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
I've got stuff to do. I'm lifting weights. I'm playing a video game. What are you talking about? They don't get that. But any indicator that you're really thinking about her for some amount of time, and it's not about obsession, right? It's not about, like, I need you. You know, the context of, like, being strong. Again, what you really want to be is a strong, powerful guy who's got your shit together, who's got a job, who take care of your own stuff, who chooses to let her have power over you.
Right.
Right? Who chooses to let her be someone that you adore, that someone that can do these things to you. And when I text your wife into bed, I talk about this a lot. I talk about the idea of being a strong, powerful guy, a high-value, high-status male, as it were. And then only then, when you're a high-status male, does it matter that you're willing to crawl over broken glass for her. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're a wimp, like any girl who's even moderately attractive can get a wimpy guy to do anything she wants.
Sure.
Right, but if look at romance novels, like look at what romance novels are actually about. The storyline's always the same, right? It's the high status guy who's kind of a rapscallion, who's kind of a womanizer, who can have any woman he wants, but then he meets that one girl,
and it's all over.
And it's all over, right?
Yeah.
It's totally that's my own story with my girlfriend. I could pretty much have any woman I wanted, and then I met her, and I was like, you know what, I'm done.
Yeah,
right?
He becomes completely enraptured and can't shake it.
And that's kind of the storyline that she wants. So it's not that she wants a guy who isn't attractive or can't flirt with other girls or anything like that. She wants a guy that can do that but chooses not to.
Sure.
Right? A guy who she knows that if she wasn't around, you could find somebody else, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're choosing not to because you like her so much.
Yeah, you know what I've found, and I think you and I have talked about this in the past at some point, but I feel like that if your girlfriend or wife doesn't admire you, it's over.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah. Contempt is, I mean, I read this I remember I was reading a relationship book years ago before I got into all this stuff. My ex-girlfriend, we were trying to fix our relationship. She said, read this book for me. I was like, okay, I read the first chapter. And there was two things I kind of got out of that first chapter. One was you can't make your partner happy and you shouldn't even try in a lot of ways. That doesn't mean you should be addicted to them. You should help them be happy, but you can't make them happy, right? And the other was that contempt kills love.
Sure.
Right? If your girlfriend has contempt for who you are, and if you have contempt for her for who she is, but I think it's actually worse if a woman has contempt for her man, you're dead in the water. Totally dead in the water. Like if she's basically, I was talking to a friend recently. He and his girlfriend are having major issues. They have a baby together. And he was talking about how she would just call him an idiot. She would do this. She would yell at him. I'm like, yeah, you're dead in the water.
Oh, yeah. As soon as that stuff starts happening, yeah, you're right. It's just...
Unless she can wake up to what, unless she can learn to admire you.
Yep.
Right? And when I talk to women a lot, I'm like, you have to learn to admire your guy. You have to learn to focus on, and they'll say, well, but what about this and this? I'm like, that doesn't matter. Right? It doesn't matter that he doesn't load the dishwasher the way you want to. It doesn't matter that he doesn't talk as much as you want him to. What are the five things you actually like about him? Right? Focus on those. The other stuff will come. Right? Once he feels admired, once he feels respected. And that can be really hard for a lot of women. And it's hard for guys to, like, I mean, the only way you can really have that work in a relationship is if you can be a guy who can sit down with your woman and talk to her about that stuff. Right? Because you can have intellectual conversations about emotions with women.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it can work very well. If you can just sit down with her and say, honey, I really want to talk for a while. If you go to a woman and say, I want to talk about a relationship for a minute, how happy is she going to be? Right? And then you just frame it as like, listen, I really like you. I really like being with you, but this behavior isn't going to work for me. I'm not interested in it. And if you just say that in like a caring way, you'll be amazed at how often the bitchy behavior kind of fades away. Because all of a sudden, you're leading, you're taking control as a guy. You're not being a misogynistic douchebag or anything like that, but you're just saying, hey, here's what I demand in this relationship. Right?
You know what that is? It's something I've discovered a long time ago. It's kind of a yin and yang of communication. It's direct with empathy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It's like I know exactly what I want, what I'm saying, but I understand where you're coming from with that, and I'm willing to entertain that, but this is what it is.
Yeah. Right? And it's like telling her with everything you're doing, yes, I do love you, but this isn't okay.
Right.
And it's not yelling and screaming. It's not like, oh, you freaking bitch, well, how dare you? It's just saying, listen, I'm not interested. Like, I even just use that phrase, I'm not interested in this.
True. Right?
If you just say, I'm not interested in this kind of conversation, I'm not interested in this kind of behavior, if you have a complaint, if you're not happy about something in our relationship, we can talk about it, but this isn't the way to do it. So let's talk.
For sure. I know a lot of these things are, you know, whether it's girlfriends or wives or even just people you know, a lot of these outbursts, they're just based on getting more attention from you.
Definitely. Because she's not getting enough, right?
Sure.
It's not even about quantity, it's about quality,
sure.
Right? Most women don't really, some women are just total attention whores who really want, like, every moment of your attention, and those aren't women you should date.
No, right? Not at all.
That's called codependence, and it's called low self-esteem, and it's a problem.
It's called run like hell.
Run like hell, because it's not gonna turn around tomorrow. You can't fix it. Right?
Yeah, because your job to her is to provide her whole life.
Yes, and that's not going to work. What you really need is a woman who has her own life. I always say, like, I wrote a book called Make Him Beg to Be Your Boyfriend, which is very popular on Amazon. And I think it's like number 2 in sex and relationships. It used to be number 1 for about 3 or 4 months in a row. And one of the big things I say in that women always respond really powerfully to is I just tell them, here's your mantra from now on if you actually want a guy to come after you. And your mantra is, I want him to be my boyfriend. I don't need him to be my boyfriend. Right? Because neediness is the opposite of attraction. And it works the same way the other way around. I want you to be my girlfriend, but I don't need you to. I like having you around, but I'll be okay without you. Right? Like, I would prefer to have you around, but I'll be okay without you. And if you can really internalize that and not be codependent and just be like, yeah, I love you. You're wonderful. But if this doesn't work out, it's going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. And if you actually can project that, it actually will have a pretty profound impact on her behavior. She might rail against it at first. She might just get really angry at you at first. But if you can really just maintain that, and it's not about saying, like, threatening to leave her or anything like that, right, which is just manipulation and bullshit. But it's about just being, like, being at a place in your life where you're okay with who you are, where you legitimately like who you are. Because only if you like who you are, then all of a sudden the bitchy criticism falls off you like water on a duck's back. Because you're like, well, I know that's not true. Right? Mm-hmm. You're lashing out at me, but I know what you're saying fundamentally isn't true. And even if it is true, it's something that I'm kind of okay with. All of a sudden, you know, once she kind of sees that all that rage and all that manipulation doesn't work and that you're just kind of okay and that you're empathetic and love her and you're standing there, all of a sudden it gets a lot easier.
Yeah, it seems to be that, you know, these types of things – oh, what's the phrase I was going to get to? I totally just blanked out on it. I'll get back to it. But yeah, you're absolutely right on.
But I mean, to me, Brad, it's all just about, like, you know, we have a program called Text Your Ex Back, which does really well.
Sure.
And that program is largely about teaching people to be okay with the breakup. Right? Because we get a lot of women and a lot of men. We sell about the same, the men and women on that program, who come in, and when they first come to that program, they're desperate and angry, and they're feel like they're going to drown without their person. They feel like that other person is you know, oxygen to them, and they can't possibly imagine a life without them. And then throughout the program, I kind of make them sit down and really work on themselves and work on, why do you want this person back? Do you really want them back? Right? What does it actually mean? Is it just kind of a desperation, or is it whatever else? And a lot of folks, they kind of find that while they're working the program, either their ex starts coming back to them without them really doing anything. Because they're like, hey, you're not texting me 15,000 times a day anymore, right?
Right?
Or they find themselves just being way more attractive and attracted to other people because they're able to just kind of project self-esteem, right?
Yeah.
Not even cockiness, but just like, I know who I am and I like who I am.
Yes, it's right? self, I like self-worth a little bit.
Yeah, self-worth, totally. Self-worth is great. And but it's just like looking at yourself and being like, I'm worth something. I like who I am. Yes, I have flaws. We all have flaws. Big freaking deal, right?
Yeah.
But fundamentally, I like who I am. And if you just like who you are, then all of a sudden you're not really interested in the whole like, okay, you're just going to focus on what you don't like about me all the time. Why? Why are we doing that? I don't want to do that. I'm not okay with that. And then if you just like make yourself start giving compliments to your partner and even to other people in general and building up their self-worth, everything gets a lot nicer. I know it's so woo-woo compared to the whole like, you know, here's the three phrases you can give to any woman to make her want to rip your pants off. I can give you that stuff too. Don't get me wrong. But for me, like successful relationships, having a girlfriend where you're like happy every day, where you wake up next to this person every day and you're like, I'm really happy to be here with you.
Yeah. You know what I found? I remember what I was gonna mention. Mm-hmm. Two. First one is it seems like a lot of times when women are really kind of acting out against you, what they're really doing is testing your stability.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
You know, and because like for me, I think anger, as most people use it, is really a piss poor emotion. It's one of those things that
can be useful. You know, depending on how you react to it, and you shouldn't like try to rebel against your anger, but it's not something you really want to dive into all the time.
Right.
Either.
It's like people that drop F-bombs all the time. I mean, whole conversation is dropping F-bombs, then nobody pays attention to it. But if you drop an F-bomb and you never use it, people pay attention.
So or if you use it, you know, use it strategically.
Yeah, exactly.
Or as I call it, especially when I'm speaking on stage, being strategically inappropriate.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, anger is anger, but I think most people misconstrue anger with just annoyance.
Yeah.
You know, and that's definitely not the same thing. So people kind of, a lot of guys will just kind of blow up on their girlfriend or wife or something over just an annoyance, not a anger.
Yep.
So that was the thing.
No, and again, that kind of ruins your ability to actually address important things, right?
Yes.
If you're blowing up at your girlfriend because she parked the car not quite the right way.
Right.
Then what are you going to do when something serious happens?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and that leads into the next thing I was thinking of. I find that a lot of guys are afraid to tell their women the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect example. Like, what's the absolute phrase that a woman can say that freezes every single man?
I want to.
Before they go out. No.
Do I look fat in this? Like what?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And most guys will lie if it's not flattering.
Yep.
But why? I mean, because if you can't, from my perspective, if you can't tell the truth about the little things, how in the world can she expect you to tell the truth about the big things?
But again, you got to tell the truth in a way that is with empathy, right? Like you said before. It's like, you know, I remember a couple weeks ago, my girlfriend was trying to decide on an outfit between two or three different outfits. And she was like, well, this one or this one? I'm like, yeah, they're both okay. But I think this other one flatters you a lot more.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Like that's just the way you don't say, oh, my God, you look like a cow in that dress.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course.
Because that's just stupid. But it's also like our women's programs, the reason they're so successful is because we tell them the truth in those programs. I tell women the actual truth about what men want, what men are thinking, what men are really, what's really going on in their minds. And so many women are like, why hasn't any guy ever said this to me before? And I'm like, well, because we're scared of you.
Yeah.
Why? Because your emotions are really, really frightening because you start screaming and getting really angry. But if you establish a pattern in your relationship of telling the truth with empathy on a regular basis, then you can build up to it more. You can build up to the point that you're like, you know, you can say things like, you know, oh, did she ask you, do you think that girl's cute? And you're like, yeah, I think she's cute. I think you're cuter, but I think she's cute. Sure.
Sure.
Right? And it's not a big deal. It's like, no, honey, I only have eyes for you. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
She knows you're lying then. You got to tell at least a portion of the truth, and eventually get to the point that you can tell the actual truth, right?
Yeah. I think a lot of people, and just a general comment, but I feel like that most people underestimate the ability of other people to handle the truth.
Well, people are, you know, women are adults, right?
Yeah.
Men are adults too, hopefully. And it's like, I remember when I first started writing women's programs and I looked around and saw all this stuff that was just like so incredibly patronizing to women.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know, discover his true inner heart. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work. Right.
No,
and we have to tell the truth. Your points before about the whole, like, you know, being unmovable and being untestable. It reminds me actually, like, you know, last week when I was in Vegas and we went to the strip club just for the hell of it. And being there was really interesting. I hadn't been to a strip club in quite some time. I don't find strip clubs particularly fascinating or, you know, fun.
I find them hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's really interesting to watch other people there, but I don't really, I've never felt myself getting turned on at the strip club.
Right.
Right. I never felt myself being like, yeah, this is wonderful. But it was interesting watching the women there and watching the guys there. And we had like one woman in particular who walked up to us and was like, looking at me, and she was like, wow, you have really big hands. Right. And I was like, does that actually work on the guys in these clubs? I'm like, yes, I do factually have rather large hands. like
that
that's
doesn't
fine.
Mean my wallet's bigger.
Yeah, it doesn't mean my wallet bigger. It doesn't mean I'm going to be like all of a sudden all over you because you're giving me this praise. But it reminds me that like a lot of guys simply never get appreciated physically or emotionally or in any way in their relationships. Right?
Yeah.
So when they go to these strip clubs, yeah, they're going to see a hot girl do fun things on a pole, but it's also just like, hey, I just want to have the fantasy of being wanted for a little while, right? I want to have the fantasy of having a woman hit on me like a 14-year-old boy hits on a girl.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
It's you know, it's funny, and I'm pretty sure we talked about this when you and I were in Vegas, what was it, about a month or so ago?
Yeah, about that, yeah.
I think the three main emotions that most guys want to feel but never get to feel are admiration, respect, and lust.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
or actually, or having that felt towards them, right?
That's,
having
that's
a woman admire them, having them. And we were talking about how it's like, I remember the first, I think years ago, I was like, I live on Capitol Hill in Seattle, which is a relatively gay area, right? And I remember like when I first moved here and I first started getting in shape after being a little skinny guy for most of my life. And all of a sudden I'd be like walking down the street and I'd get like catcalled by gay guys. And I'd be like, I'm not gay, but that actually feels kind of good in a way. Right.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, my God, I'm actually being appreciated and wanted. And I'm like, unfortunately, it's people I don't want to have sex with. But it still kind of felt nice in a way to be like, oh, my God, I wish girls would do this sometimes. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I wish I could get somebody to, you know, follow all over me, you know, or think that or say or text me and say, oh, my God, I'm thinking about you right now. I can't believe how wet I am. Blah,
yeah, exactly.
Blah, like
my girlfriend does do that, which is kind of great. But
right, yeah, exactly.
Because I've trained her too. She's like she gets good feedback on it when I do.
Yeah.
Right, when she does. Right. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Hint. If there's a woman listening right now, hint: do this.
Do this. It's not that hard. And and again, if there's a woman listening, don't make him earn it. It doesn't work.
No. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
If you try to make him earn it, you will never get what you'll. You have to give him what he needs, so he'll give you what you need. You inspire him to be romantic by giving him the sex and the adoration that he needs.
You know, it's funny. These things feed back on each other.
They do.
They can either spiral out of control downward, or they can spiral up. So somebody's got to start it, but then. You do your action, he'll do his.
But how you do it is basically, for guys, what you do is you don't react to her emotional outbursts and her bitchiness and the quote-unquote bitchiness and things like that. You do that technique of just being like, listen, I'm not really interested in this. I love you. I'm not interested in this. Why are you being angry at me? And even be willing to have those conversations in a relatively dispassionate, affectionate way.
Sure.
Right? You don't have a yelling match. There's no point in it. It doesn't get you anywhere.
Right.
Right. Instead, you just talk and you just say, listen, if you're angry at me for something, let's talk about it. Right. And then like sometimes you even just apologize, but not from a position of weakness, from a position of strength. You say, listen, I think you're right about that. I really apologize. I'm going to try to work on it, but I have to go do this other thing right now. And I'm really sorry. Right.
Right.
I have to finish this work thing. Women, and again, like sometimes guys will feel like their woman doesn't want them to have a career or is like, oh, you don't, you know, the things that are important to you. Again, that's only because you're not making her feel like one of your priorities.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you were right when you talked about it earlier about, you know, and she doesn't have to be the number one all the time. I mean, typically from what I've seen, as long as she's top three.
Yep. Top three.
At any given time, then you're pretty good to go.
And she's got to be number one sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, but top three is fine. And it's like, and, you know, sometimes it's not like if you like playing video games, it's okay to like playing video games. Right. But you can't make video games take precedence over your girlfriend all the time.
No.
Right. For me, it's like I like to work out. I like my business. I like playing music. Those are kind of my three primary things that I really enjoy doing besides my girlfriend and sex and lovely things like that. And at any given time, they kind of go up and down. But if she comes to me and says, hey, you know what I do? I don't wait for her to beg for a date night. I go up to her and I say, hey, Thursday is date night, okay? And we're gonna go out. I'm going to take you out and do something.
Mm-hmm.
And that cuts. And then all of a sudden, for the next 3 or 4 days, she's really happy. Because she knows date night is coming. She's not worried about like, oh, well, you're playing poker on Monday and you're doing this on Tuesday and you're doing this on Wednesday, because she knows that Thursday is her night.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? And that tension kind of fades away at that point.
Yeah,
it gets a lot easier.
amazing. Yeah, but you know what? A lot of guys have problems doing that because they don't want to make a decision that they think their wife or girlfriend will not like. And then, you know what I'm saying?
But the key is, the guys, you have to make a decision. Right?
Sure.
Or it's, as a guy, I wrote this, and I think we did Make Her Beg to Be Your Girlfriend at one point, and I was like, you have to choose the restaurant. Right?
Yes.
I know you don't want to. I don't want to either, but you have to. Right? It's just the way it is. Make a decision. Even if it's the wrong decision, making no decision is a lot worse.
Or, you know, I figured something out, this was years ago, because I ran into the same things. It's like, you're getting this horrible downward conversation of, well, where do you want to go? I don't know.
Oh,
what do
God.
You want to do?
Yeah.
You know, and you can just feel the tension of the phone call or whatever it is just disappear and everybody's neutered. And so I came up with something. I was like, well, there are three places that I would not mind eating. And so I would say, all right, well, how about, you know, I'd say, look, let's go out tonight. What would you like to go? Either here, here, or here.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And just pick three places. And then that way, you know, you've made a decision. You've narrowed things down. And then she still gets input. And a part of it. So that works.
And it,
really
and it shows
well.
That you're leading in some way. You're not relying on her to do make the big decision where you're like, okay, I'm thinking we're either going to go to this really nice Italian restaurant or this other place that I like.
Yeah, if you ever want the oasis to dry up, then, yeah, definitely have that downward spiral
conversation. Oh, geez, yeah. It always kind of goes downhill. And it becomes just bitterness and anger. And, like, and again, you just don't talk, right? And for me, it's like you got to have those conversations before they become – you have to have the serious conversations before they become a problem.
You know what's interesting? I want to kind of switch gears a little bit because I just thought of something that we discussed before, and I think it's completely fascinating because you do deal with the women's side, and you have a lot of insights into what they. What are the biggest complaints that women have about men as far as men and what they do, how they interact, you know, their goals, their
a bunch of stuff. But we did a program called The Secret Survey, which is it's called What Men Desperately Want You to Know But Will Never Tell You. And largely as part of that, I asked women, like, if you had telepathy and could read any man's mind, what's the one thing you would desperately want to know, right? Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing was, does he love me, right? Does he actually love me? How does he feel about me? And then there was a lot of stuff around, will he commit to me? What does he want in bed? All that other kind of stuff. But the biggest complaints were really just like, A, why doesn't he have any passion, right? Why doesn't he have a mission?
Yeah.
Like, you know, women want a guy who is, and I think it's worse now than it used to be. I feel like, you know, 2012 when we're recording this, there seems to be this downward spiral of men in a lot of ways. Yeah. There's guys who either fall for the fake feminist trap, right? Kind of falling in, I consider myself a feminist. I love women. I think I have no problem with a woman being a boss or president or whatever else. But a lot of guys fall for this idea of, like, equal meaning that we're the same, which is stupid, right? It really isn't kind of how it works. And a lot of guys kind of wussify themselves because of that and refuse to actually be men. But a lot of women are just like, why doesn't he have a mission? Why doesn't he have something he's passionate about? Why doesn't he have something he's really going after? Now, it seems like he just wants to kind of hang out and not do anything. And he's not passionate about me. He's not passionate about his job. He's not passionate about any of his hobbies, really. He's just kind of hanging out. Right? Mm-hmm. And going on from there. Other complaints are just like, you know, why won't he fight for me?
Right.
Why won't he be willing to go for it and fight for me? Yeah. What's that?
We're not talking about fist fighting either.
No. But why won't he just like a lot of those tests we talk about, right, where she's complaining or doing this or doing that or flirting with another guy or whatever, is just her trying to inspire you as a guy to fight for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't mean you have to get all, like, angry. It just means, like, no, this isn't going to be okay. Like, here, you're mine. I love you. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then other complaints, you know, why won't he talk to me? Why won't he open up? Which I think is largely, I think, for women, I have to explain to them that men don't communicate the same way women do. Right? That oftentimes if a guy says, you know, a lot of women make the mistake of, you ought to see the emails we get, Brad, but they're just like, they're reading so much into every word that a guy says.
Sure.
Right. Like, you know, or what he does, like one woman wrote into us and said, Michael, I think my therapist is interested in me because he shook my hand.
What?
I'm like, what? No, it doesn't work that way. And she's like, well, he shook my hand. And when he did, he held it for 0.36 seconds longer than he needed to. And he looked me in the eye. And so that must mean, I'm like, no, that's not actually, it probably just means he's a nice therapist who's good at his job. right? And kind of from there, and you're trying to do wish fulfillment at that point because you want a guy to actually be interested in you.
Yeah.
Going from there, but they'll read so much into every single thing. What does it mean that I texted my ex-boyfriend and he put a smiley face at the end of his message? Does that mean he wants to get back together? I'm like, no, it means he put a smiley face at the end of his message.
If anything, it's probably a peace offering.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, can we be okay? You don't need to kind of go for everything, all this confirmation bias stuff. I think women particularly just go for confirmation bias like crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I want him to want me, therefore I'm going to look for every single tiny signal that he might, right? Or confirmation bias is, I think he might be cheating on me. I'm going to look for every single signal that he might be, even if he's not. Right? It's like, well, here's the proof. I'm like, that's not proof. That's something else.
Even if he's looking at the internet on his phone, they're like, well, who are you texting?
Yeah.
Oh, God. On the internet, man.
I'm like, I'm checking sports scores and looking at porn. What do you want?
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. But really, the complaints are really just like, why won't he fight for me? Why won't he have passion for me? We do get women who talk about, back in the 50s, men knew how to treat women. And my response to that, by the way, is, you mean by cheating on them and beating the crap out of them? You mean that's how men used to know how to treat women, by being total misogynists and assholes? Sure, okay, great.
Yeah, I think on that point that people sincerely believe that the world is getting worse.
Which isn't true.
I don't agree with that either. Just,
I mean, certainly, global warming does exist. Let's not put our heads in the sand. But the world, socially and everything else, the world is getting a lot better, right?
Yeah, of course.
The
only difference is now you know everything that happens because of social media and blogs and all this. So, I mean, think about it. I mean, every single thing that happens, you know. But before, you didn't know half the stuff. And so people were getting away with more. And so these things were a little more
random. You just didn't hear about it. And it took care of itself, right?
Sure.
It's like there's not a lot of point as a human being of spending every single day. Like, I have friends who are news junkies, and I'm like, what are you doing to yourself?
Yeah.
I have like two or three things I kind of pay attention to, and then everything else I just kind of let go because I'm like, it doesn't involve me. I don't care. I want to write a book someday, Brad, called Care Less, Love More, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically about stop caring about so much stuff and just pick the three or four things you actually give a damn about and go after those and forget everything else, because otherwise you're just going to drive yourself crazy.
It makes total sense. That's where, I mean, if most people understood how the news is generated these days, they wouldn't pay attention to anything.
Well, it's marketing. That's all it is. Yeah,
it's
just marketing. It's just people trying to figure out, how do I get attention today? Because attention equals money, right? And if I can get enough attention, I can sell more units, or I can get more views on my website. So what's the worst, most controversial thing we can do? And also, human beings by nature focus on the negative.
Oh, of course.
Right? This happens in relationships, too. This is why relationships fall apart in a lot of ways. Because all of a sudden, for women, that guy they thought was going to be Prince Charming turns into a regular human being. Right? Also, we talk about that a lot in our women's programs, about the idea that Prince Charming doesn't exist.
You got the chick porn you're reading. It's chick porn. And the same thing for guys.
The amazingly happy woman, she's happy all the time and worships her penis. It doesn't exist either.
Right. So. But it's like women will look at porn and think, this is what my guy wants, and not really. But guys maybe will pick up a romance novel that'll have some, like, 50 Shades of Grey or something that has some really crazy stuff, and assume that that's what they want, but not really.
Not really. Not what they're really going for. What we really want is, like, but again, like, it's falling into that trap all the time of, like, trying to give people exactly what we want. All you can really do as a human being is be a good human being, right? Be a good guy, right? Be an actual guy who's a good guy, and be reasonable as much as you can. Understand that we as human beings are irrational creatures, right? Like, we're kind of crazy when you get right down to it. And be okay with that and laugh about it and be like, hey, I'm reacting in this way because of blah, 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 and you're reacting in this way because of blah, blah, blah. Why don't we just have a conversation about it instead?
Right.
Let's make a choice to love each other. Yeah.
It's never logical at all. You'll be in a conversation, and it feels like you just went over this a month ago. And you're like, you just went over this a month ago, but now it's just a little bit different twist, and they should get that, blah, blah, blah.
Well, especially with men and women, it's the same fight over and over again. Right? And it's like, here's something that really frustrates women, is that as guys, if we're having the same conversation again, we just don't want to have the conversation, right? We already had this fight. It didn't get us anywhere then. Why are we fighting about it again? They firmly believe that if you fight about it enough, you'll find a way through it. Yeah. Right. If you just keep having the same conversation and harping about the same things over and over again, eventually you'll find your way through. Where for guys, we're like, well, it didn't work before. I don't think it's going to.
Yeah,
not going to happen.
And you know the dangerous part about it, especially going back to contempt, is once you get in that downward spiral, it seems that everybody's starting to keep score of who's messing up.
Yeah.
Right. You messed up. All right. So I got to figure out. I messed up. I got to figure out some way that they messed up so I can like even it out. And it just ends up awful.
Which is just useless, right? It's like,
Absolutely.
How many punches did I take and how many did you take? What's the point?
Exactly.
It doesn't really matter.
I was going to say, so let's do this. You know, we mentioned your kind of specialty in this realm.
I mean,
obviously you understand the whole gamut of stuff, but really your specialty is text messaging.
It is.
Yeah. We'll do another call where we'll talk about the dirty stuff because I think that's really interesting.
It's
I think guys will like that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about just kind of the basic rekindling and resparking relationship stuff. So just some simple things really quickly that guys can do before we sign off that'll really help out.
So a couple different things. The way I usually tell people to start these things off, and it really depends on where you are in your relationship, right? If things are pretty good, you can start in one place. If you're in a place of distrust or that downward spiral you were talking about, it's a little bit different. But the first thing you got to do is simply to send what I call an appreciation text, right?
Right.
Or an AT, as people on my Facebook wall. They always shorten things, and I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about anymore.
Yeah.
But an appreciation text is simply sending the woman in your life a little piece of appreciation of what you appreciate about her, and preferably when it starts, it shouldn't necessarily be a physical thing, right? It should be something about her personality, something about her life or the way she lives that you really like. It can be something as simple as sending her a message during the middle of the day, apropos of nothing, that says something along the lines of, "You're the greatest mother I've ever seen in my life. I'm so happy that you're here for me and the kids. If you have kids." Right. Or something like you have no idea the impact you have on me when you go out to your job in the morning. I love seeing you so confident. You're wonderful. Right.
Yeah.
And you just send something. You just got to pick something. In the actual program, we talk about kind of a list of things you can choose, whatever it's going to be. But just something that makes her feel like you pay attention to her and who she is and that you're in her corner. And sometimes guys will be like, well, if I send her that, she's going to think I'm up to something. Right? She's going to think I cheated on her or something, and why am I being so nice all the time? Right? All of a sudden, right?
That doesn't sound nice, though. You know what I mean? It's, to me, it's not like a nice, just kind of a shallow nice thing.
No. It's something that shows that you're actually paying attention. And the key is, even if she does react, if you're in a negative relationship right now, she reacts negatively to some way, don't react to it. Right? You just send her something nice, and then a couple days later, you do it again, and you do it again until she kind of gets used to getting that kind of communication from you. Right?
Right.
And then you can kind of move on to what more like more sensual stuff. You can move more on to the physical stuff, right? Because women do want to be lusted after. 100%. They want to be lusted after by the right kind of guy.
Right. Right.
And oftentimes, if she's reacting negatively to your sexual advances, it's because she's not seeing you as a strong guy. She's not seeing you as a guy who she wants to have find her attractive. But if you can kind of, you know, work on some of the stuff we talked about before, about your own self-esteem, your own self-worth, things like that, you simply send her things that show that she has, that you appreciate her physically and that she has some power over you. Something along the lines of, you looked amazing when you came out of the shower this morning. All I wanted to do was nibble on your neck and drag you back to the bedroom. You're beautiful. Thank you. Right?
Yeah.
Send something like that. And just send it and let it go. And don't send it and don't try to follow up with it right away with like, okay, I'm definitely trying to get into bed tonight. Right?
Sure.
Just send the message. Don't necessarily expect a response and kind of go from there. And then later on, we talk a lot about this in the program, about things called best of the relationship texts, which are really ways to basically get back to the best parts of your relationship, start bringing those up again, the relationship time machine. One of the most powerful things we actually have in the program, which is – when I wrote it, I didn't know it was going to be so amazing. It's called the text massage, right? And all it is, it's a script that I actually give you in the program that teaches you how to give a massage over a text message, right? Because like I said, the mind is a very powerful thing, and you can actually, if with the right language, you can access that part of her brain to get her to relax and feel like you're actually giving her a massage without actually touching her. There's also a variation of it that gets a lot dirtier, but that's okay. The text massage aspect is really just about getting her to relax. We've had guys write in and say, hey, I did that, and she came home and just like wrapped herself in my arms and cried. because it was like, hey, you're showing that you actually appreciate me and that you actually understand that my life can be hard, all those other kind of things. And then from there, we tend to move on to the more sexual stuff. We move on to what I call digital foreplay, which kind of gets into teasing her, right, making her feel wanted and teasing her and showing that you're willing to kind of do, to get involved in the fantasy with her. Right, that you're willing to actually paint a picture for her. And one of the biggest hints I can give you for guys, by the way, when you're texting in a more sexual way with a woman, what you want to do is narrate her response to you.
Okay, right? You got to explain that.
Okay, so for when I tell women how to do the texting thing, it's always usually very visual, right? I tell women, focus on language like, you know, you see me walking across the room, my blouse opening your gaze on me, blah, blah, blah. With women, it's all about feeling. Right, the word feel, and you. It really, the visual is not nearly as important. Women just aren't as visual as we are. That's why they don't really give a shit about watching, you know, Playgirl or something like that.
Right,
right. But you do something along the lines of, if I were there right now, then it'd be what? You would feel me coming up behind me, behind you, my strong hands on your shoulders, the tension fading away from you like your overcooked spaghetti. You feel this incredible energy building in your body, this heat building inside you, this beautiful ball of light building in your stomach, emanating out to your limbs, this tingle going up and down inside you. You feel my hands on your hips, etc., right?
Right.
And you're going from there. But notice that you're actually narrating what she does. You're narrating how she reacts. Right, and what you don't want to do is like, and then you get really horny, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't work. Like, it's not, we're not writing porn here. We're writing sensuality, erotica, and women like it when you lead. And the great thing is, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy if you're narrating her reaction in a powerful way. And I tell you in the program exactly how to write this stuff, right? Because most people aren't writers. There you go. It becomes self-fulfilling prophecy. She finds herself wanting to go there. It builds up this heat so that when she actually gets home, she wants that same thing to happen. And if you follow the same script you already kind of gave her, she'll have the same reaction that you told her before. But she wants to be led in that way. She doesn't want to make the decision. She doesn't want to have to – like, a lot of guys will make the mistake of trying to make it too much of a back and forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like, you feel my hands on your shoulders. What do? Like, that doesn't work. Right? That falls apart because she's like, I wait for you to do something. She wants you to kind of lead from there. A lot of this material actually developed when I was single and I was meeting girls, and I discovered that I could really get a lot of women really turned on to the point that they wanted to sleep with me over text message. I actually got one really beautiful, wonderful girl fired from her job that way because she, I was using some of this material, and we were texting back and forth, and she ended up going into the break room at work.
Yeah,
to masturbate.
To take care of
business. And it turns out there was a camera in there, and she did
perfect
job. Yes. I'm sure somebody enjoyed that video because she's a very beautiful woman. But nonetheless. But again, it's like all about leading. It's all about taking control. It's all about building the fantasy for her, creating your own romance novel for her. Right?
Right. Here's
and it's worth the work. What's that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I was going to say, here's a question for you because obviously you've been working on this type of thing in your – other job for a very long time. So you have a gift for what's called wordsmithing. If people don't understand that, basically what it means is that there are certain words that just pack a more visceral punch. So some words are lame, and some words just have a lot of emotional baggage to them. And you used a couple of those a while ago, and again, you have a gift. They just fly off your tongue, and guys are probably
it's a gift from years of practice, I would say.
Exactly. So nobody comes into the world just knowing this stuff.
No, I'd be scared if they did, honestly.
Yeah. So what I was going to ask you is, do you have kind of like a power words list?
I do, actually. In the program, I basically just show you I have scripts more than anything else. We do talk about power words. We talk about imagine, and a bunch of other words that are very, very powerful as far as what you can kind of amp into there. And then there's just a lot of, like, done-for-you stuff in the program. Because I know most people just don't want to think about this stuff. They don't want to write their own stuff. They just want to be like, hey, what do I actually say? Right? And so I give them the exact things and the formulas to use. And a lot of folks find themselves using those formulas in really creative, interesting ways.
Yeah. I mean, when you're first starting out in a lot of stuff like this, you need kind of some training wheels to get used to the flow of how.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it can be complicated and difficult stuff. And you're like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, well, just do this. And then hopefully later on you'll figure out kind of your own stuff to do to kind of add on to it. But at first, I didn't know what I was doing at first either, years ago.
Oh, yeah.
When I started learning how to write in a powerful, emotional way. And now it's something I can just kind of do. You know, you've seen me on stage before. I just kind of go.
go. Yeah.
People ask me, Mike, did you prepare your speech? I'm like, not really. I just kind of wait and see what comes out. It works out pretty well most of the time.
Yeah, that was the funniest thing I was telling a couple of people. It's like I remember when I was in college, I would judge professors on how they came into class and how they taught. The best professors were the ones that just walked in with nothing.
Yep.
All they had was a piece of chalk, and they just went. And they just could flow. And that's kind of what happened on stage. It was, you had your presentation, all that stuff, but it was the Q&A that came afterwards that really shined, because, people were, throwing stuff at you, and you're just rattling things off, bang, 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 bang. And I was like, that's how you know.
Yep. That's how you know what you're talking about, or at least you've practiced it at that point.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But you can't practice most of this stuff.
Not
like that.
Not too much, but, it's like a mastery thing, anything. And I think even, being in relationships and having – it's interesting because, a lot of the skills that you learn about pickup are the absolute worst things to do in a relationship.
Right? Oh, yeah, the exact opposite, sure.
Yeah, the absolute opposite. So what I try to teach a lot of guys is, once you actually find a girl you want to keep around, here's how you keep her around, and here's how you make it work. Here's how you make it so you're actually all both happy in the relationship and not just thinking about, oh man, are we gonna end this thing? We're gonna have to find somebody else. And you meet a lot of 40-year-old single guys who never quite figured this stuff out and are.
You know the main reason I think it is, and I talked about this with Greg Greenway on a podcast earlier about the social circles, but I think most people have a big problem distinguishing between transactional space and experiential space.
Mm-hmm.
In their head. And so what you were talking about earlier with the guys kind of making these grand gestures, they're in transactional space. Whereas if they took their woman on a trip that was five times less expensive, that trip means way more because it's an experience.
You're actually doing something together as opposed to just talking about doing something together or buying her something that will sit on the shelf and not actually go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And so what you're talking about here within, I like kind of relating back to that because it's perfect. What you're talking about, even with the texting, is, don't talk about, how you're horny and all this stuff that moves it into that space where, okay, the only reason he's doing this is because he's trying to get laid.
Mm-hmm.
Versus he's trying to give me an experience that I'll appreciate, that type of thing. So,
it's also about the idea of, this is from a sex standpoint in general, but I used to talk about this when I was teaching single guys stuff, but it's you got to think about sex and sensuality as something you share, not something you take.
Right.
Right. And a lot of guys see it as, I'm going to take sex from her. I'm going to get her to sleep with me.
Well, think about the phrase.
Get from her. Yeah.
I got laid.
Yeah. I got laid. Right. As opposed to we made love, we had sex, we fucked, whatever it's going to be, right?
Yeah.
All those other kind of ways of phrasing it. But it's something that you share together and that you even give to her. You're going to give her a great experience, right?
Yeah.
She's going to be happy afterwards the same way you're hopefully going to be happy afterwards. So.
Sure, exactly.
But I do have to, I got to get going here in a second because I got another call coming up. But,
Me too.
So, go ahead.
I'll tell you what. Let me do this really quickly, guys. If you want to, especially this particular product, if you want to hear more about how to text your relationship back and bring that back up, you can go to highgravitymail.com/just text. It'll be fine, and it'll send you right on over. You can check out his stuff. He's got a really cool video you can check out to get more information about that type of thing and see what this dude looks like. I think that one.
I'm very beautiful. Yes, actually, that one does have me in it. Actually,
very bald and beautiful. So,
yep, totally.
But it's good program. It's good stuff. Like I say, this is one of my go-to guys as far as, desire and understanding things. So, again, I'm not going to interview or bring people on this thing unless I know them personally and vetted everything out. So just so you know that, just to reiterate that. So, Mike, do you have anything you want to close on really quickly?
No, I just want to – this is a really fun conversation. Thank you for having me. And, guys, the main thing is if you're in a real relationship and you want to keep that relationship going, you got to understand that love at a certain point becomes something you choose every single day, right? It isn't necessarily easy, but it is oftentimes worth it. And you have to wake up every day and look at that woman and be like, I want to be here, right? And to a large degree, that's a choice that you have to make and that she has to make as well. And you have to kind of help her have the tools to be able to make that choice.
Yep, absolutely, man. Cool, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on. We'll definitely do this again and talk about some of the other more fun stuff that we can
the dirty stuff.
Lots of fun. All right. So for Michael Fiore, I am Brad Howard, and that's your High Gravity Mail podcast.
Thanks, guys. Bye.